What's up, Stacking Dubs? We've done it. Kuminga has signed his deal. 5 months later, I can't believe it's happened. Two-year deal. $48.5 million reported, but it's actually $46.5 million because there's a trade kicker, is what we found out. If they trade him before the deadline, it's a 15% trade kicker. So that's like 1.3 mil. Just little details here. Obviously, there is a team option in the second year, and Kuminga does not get his no trade clause. I thought that there might be a chance they let him waive that no trade clause just to make this happen, but they don't. The Warriors stand strong. They do not blink, despite a pretty reckless and ballsy bluff by Kuminga's side to take the qualifying offer. But everyone avoids mutually assured destruction. And this is probably the best case scenario for both sides. Kuminga gets a deal where he gets paid this year. He has a very tradable contract where he, hopefully by the deadline, you know, the intent, it sure seems, is to move him to a team probably where he would prefer to play and blossom. But again, he doesn't have control over that anymore. But you know, pretty much any team is going to be sort of a rebuilding team at that point that trades for him, which means he's going to get plenty of usage going forward. Warriors, obviously, they get to see this Kuminga thing through for a few more months, see what you really have. They get to get some value back for Kuminga instead of losing him for nothing. They keep his matching salary on the books. They have the team option on the backside. Worst case scenario, he's a tradable contract as expiring salary for the second year, which I believe is like $25 million worth. Again, both sides very much appreciate a tradable contract, and I think this is probably the best contract to accomplish that going forward. And it just buys you a little bit more time. I think everybody's happy enough from Warriors Media Day. It sounds like all the players will welcome him back with open arms, assuming he's willing to put in the work, willing to do all the nitty-gritty screen setting, rebounding, all that fun stuff, play off-ball defense. And hey, when you're 22 years old and you can embrace doing all the hard work and things, you know, that's going to set you up for success and lay the foundation to become a superstar later. We already know he can score. We know he's a great athlete. We know he has potential to be a great point of attack defender. Can you round out that rest of the game? Can you knock down some open shots? Can you space the floor? Can you be a good teammate? All those things I believe he can do, and I believe he needs to do a bit better. And if that's the case, now we're looking at a true win-win where the Warriors are going to be winning games. Kuminga is going to be playing a lot of minutes and playing well, and you might have a bright future together. Other moves, just we'll get back to Kuminga in a second, but as it's kind of started rolling in, fortunately I'm doing this a little bit later, so we've had more details on subsequent deals that have come in. So Melton is looking at a two-year deal. It's rumored to be a player option on the backside, but as it stands right now, it's a two-year deal on the vet minimum. So great that we have him for multiple years. Horford also multi-year deal, two-year deal on the mid-level exception. Seth Curry is a little back and forth about whether he'd be able to be signed or not. I believe he's going to be signed through camp. He's going to be waived and then picked back up in November just for salary purposes. That's the way it works. And then we already know they have GP2 at that minimum also for just 1 year. So the roster has come into shape. It is nice to see. And finally, we can move forward and look forward to basketball season with this monkey off of our back. All right, back to just kind of the deal here. So, yeah, I mean, first off, tip of the hat to the Warriors for standing strong. They didn't blink. And as it got to the 11th and 12th hour, I was feeling the heat. I thought that, man, this could head towards a qualifying offer. As crazy as it would be for Kuminga to do that, I think the Warriors trusted that Kuminga and an Aaron Turner weren't quite that crazy to leave all that money on the table, and that they were in fact bluffing, which it seemed, now looking back at it, pretty obvious that they were, and they were just using all the leverage they had. But like, if you're playing poker and you're someone goes all in at you, if it's someone you play with a lot and it's someone that has a reputation of being a good player and they're a professional poker player, little more predictable. If they're going in, they either have it or they've told themselves that story. They've played the hand up until that point. They've painted the picture where it's a believable strong bluff. It's much harder to tell when you're playing against some young hotshot, wild drunk poker player who's just been throwing his money all over the place. We'll call it like an amateur used car salesman type guy. He's just talking a big game and he just throws it all in. And it doesn't really make sense. He doesn't have any leverage in the hand. It's much harder to tell if they're actually bluffing or, hey, they might just be that crazy and take the qualifying offer. So good job for the Warriors for reasoning it out, and I guess good enough job by Aaron Turner and the Kuminga camp for not being that crazy. So they best case scenario again, and I think really the biggest benefit here is it keeps the window open, the Steph Curry window, the Draymond Green window. It keeps hopes alive, because if this had gone the worst possible way, it's a disgruntled and kind of broken team for this year, and then it's just over. You don't have a salary slot, you don't have a trade piece other than some random picks, but you don't even have the salaries to go chase a third star. This at least keeps that option open. You have, basically $23 million plus. You could add someone else to that and really go get a $35, $40 million player if you really want to chase it and attach some picks, which is a whole different story. And who knows if the Warriors will ever attach picks to a trade with Kuminga for a better player that helps them win now. But at least it's possible at this point. So it keeps the window open, and ultimately it keeps the Joe Lacob dream of Kuminga blossoming and really turning into the player you drafted him at 7 overall, and hoped he would become. It keeps that potentially that fairy tale ending up open. And yeah, ultimately I'd say, we're so let's just all breathe a collective sigh of relief, because it could have been much worse. And this whole thing, as of 24 hours from now, it could have just been all lame duck status and Steph Curry was just winding down. Yes, I mean, really, I want to talk about, how are we going to maximize Kuminga? I think, first off, from his standpoint, he needs to embrace his role. He needs to, I mean, Steve Kerr's told him a million times and told his camp many times, the type of player he wants him to become, lean into that Sean Marion, that Aaron Gordon, that type of a role where you're really just kind of digging in on the defensive end, and we know you can score, but I want you to do all these other things really well, and the scoring will always be there. We want you to be that sixth man on ball scorer with that unit. But when, say, you're on the floor with Jimmy and Steph's off, you need to be a slasher, right? You need to be off that weak side. And if Jimmy finds you, you're either spacing the floor as a shooter, but most importantly, you're cutting, through the lane, cutting baseline, kind of depending. But from that weak side, you need to be aggressive and you need to be active. And there's no falling asleep off ball on defense or on offense. You need to be using your young motor, and you need to be moving at all times. If 39-year-old or whatever he is, 38-year-old, 37-year-old Steph, 38, is running around the entire game, there's no reason that 22-year-old Kuminga shouldn't be on the move at all times, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I need movement, I need efforts, I need rebounding there. When Steph's on the court and Kuminga's playing with him, we know that it can be a clunky fit. We also know that Steph makes everybody better because of the spacing, so it gives Kuminga room to operate. But I'm focused more on what Kuminga does for Steph and how he works with Steph. Can Kuminga be a good point of attack defender when Steph's on the floor? Can he be that guy on that defensive side to say, hey, Steph's got the offense for the most part. I need to channel my energy onto the defensive end right now and be a strong perimeter defender, be a strong defensive rebounder on the offensive side of the ball. he needs to look to set screens. If Steph Curry's running baseline coming up, you need to set that pin down screen. If Steph's kind of cutting to the weak side and you're at the top of the key, Kuminga, ball swung to you, does the ball stop with you, or do you understand that Steph Curry's setting up for a shot and you keep that ball moving? It's understanding when to attack weak side, when to be a baseline dunker spot. There's just so many nuances to essentially what is a five out offense with Steve Kerr. Newsflash, the offense isn't changing. Split cuts will still occur. You need to be able to not only cut out of that, but you need to be able to pass out of the split cuts. It's all things you know. It's all things we've worked on. It's all things that you're young, and the more minutes you play and the more repetitions you get, we need to see the development here. And I believe in Kuminga, and I'm gonna be fully behind it for these next few months and hope that we see improvement outside of just your points and your scoring and your box score. On the other side, maybe even more importantly, is Steve Kerr and the Warriors need to commit to that role for Kuminga. And I mean, you're committing to basically him either being your sixth man or your seventh man. You need to give him a consistent role in terms of when he enters the game, the minutes he's playing. You can't have him playing these just kind of like, hey, you're gonna just go in for 5 minutes here, and then we'll kind of see, oh, let's put you in for 3 minutes here. You may or may not play in the fourth quarter there. It needs to be consistent. And it needs to be enough minutes. He needs to be logging at least 27, 28 minutes a game. Whether that's four shifts, five shifts, whatever it needs to be, you have to find a way for him to get the minutes because he's going to, the more he plays, the better he gets and the better the team gets. I don't care if it's a clunky fit in the beginning. I don't care if the spacing's messed up. I don't care if he misses a couple screens for Steph. It takes a while for all the Warriors to learn to play with Steph, including the new players. There will be mistakes. You have to have a longer leash for Kuminga. I understand why it drives a coach crazy. I always try to look at the game through a coach's lens and, basically magnify all the mental mistakes. And I can understand why certain mental mistakes, especially when they're repeated over and over, drives Steve Kerr crazy. But you need to let go and you have to give him a long enough leash to develop. Otherwise, this is all for naught. Okay. Well, I had to get this out, guys. We did a video earlier today, so it was a double day. But hopefully, check that one out. Let's talk a little bit about Horford and Melton a bit. Ultimately, we're all switching over to Kuminga for a bit. But now that the roster's intact, we can finally look at what this team's going to do and the noise it's going to make. Because I think this team, it's going to be very good defensively. I think offensively, it has two engines, right? You have Steph Curry and you have Jimmy Butler who can go create advantages, go get guys shots. The problem was that there just weren't enough shooters to space the floor and make them pay. You have the shooters now. You've added a lot of spacing. You've added a lot of intelligent veterans. You've added a lot of good two-way players. The lineups work. There are a lot of combinations that work, but with that, Steve Kerr, I can't see you galaxy braining everything again. It can't be tinkering with 50 different lineups. I get why you did because there were so many one-way players and you had to just plug, three holes at the same time. Now you actually don't have that many holes. You have a few specialists like your GP2s on defense, your Buddy Hield as a shooter, your Seth Curry as a shooter. You have some specialists, but you have all the pieces. You have the two-way players. Find some lineups that work. Stick with them, give them a long enough look, find pairings that you like. You got to have Kuminga with Horford a lot of the time. Obviously, you want Steph with Dre. They're just different combinations of two, three players that you're really going to need to see through and give it some time. And just, let it marinate, let it cook. It will get better, even if at first it seems like it's a little clunky. Just like with Kuminga, you got to give him the runway. And we'll give it till about February. And from there, if it doesn't work, we'll make the move. All right. Good job, everybody. We hung in there. You did it. I'm proud of you all. And yep, on to bigger, better things. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Hook it up with a like, follow, subscribe. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.